Thank you for that. I apologize for the bad sound. We did that in a hurry after the war started, and we wanted you to have and people to have a way of prayer. As we think about prayer, we have two resources in the back that will help you as you pray for Israel and their salvation. One is a brochure that says why we should pray for Israel and how we should pray for Israel. And I hope you get that one, because my sermon today is based on why we should pray for Israel, and you have that and you can keep it and remember. So that's one way. The other one is a booklet that we published before the war. We didn't know this was going to happen, but before the war, we published a book, 10 Days of Prayer for Jewish People, and it is also free, and you can take it from the back. And it'll remind you how to pray for Israel from Jewish people around the world. So I hope that you get those resources as you go. We also have some resources that are for sale. One is a Messianic Jewish calendar that has all the holidays, Canadian holidays, and all the days, but it also has the Jewish holidays, and you can pray. There's ways of prayer for Israel. That's not free, but you can get that too. And as we are thinking about missions and sharing the gospel with other people, this is one of our most popular books about sharing the faith with Jewish people. It's called Isaiah 53 Explained. You know that chapter in Isaiah that talks about the suffering servant of the Lord 700 years before Jesus came. It is a beautiful way of showing how Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. And it's good for you to study, but it's also good to give to a Jewish friend that doesn't know Jesus. So I hope you can get those as well, and you'll be blessed by doing that. Well, thank you, Parkland Baptist Church, for having us today. Parkland Bible Church, excuse me, for having Janice and I. I know Janice feels at home, and I feel at home as well. Before I forget, I want to remember, I introduce my wife, Marta, who is back there. Just raise your hand and say hi. She will be helping us with the table in the back. We've been married for 47 years, so I thank the Lord for her. Pray for her that she puts up with me for a few more years too. But I'm glad to be with you today and sharing a few things that are upon our hearts. And I want to share with you why we should pray for Israel. And go ahead and go to the first slide. You know, the Word of God, why should we pray for Israel? Is it something that is in God's Word? Is it something that we just do because we like it, or is it a command? Well, as a review, God in the Scripture tells us that He is the creator of all mankind. And as creator of all mankind, He chose a people, a group of people, and He put them in a He had a special plan and a special place for them to develop His plan of redemption for all mankind. And the Bible says that He chose the Jewish people, the people of Israel, for a particular purpose. It says so in Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8, in Deuteronomy 32, 6 and verses 9 and 10. And it says that He didn't choose them because they were better than anybody else, because they were more numerous than anybody else. He didn't choose them because they were stronger than anybody else. He just chose them, He said, because He loved them. That's it. And so, sometimes Jewish people say, well, we didn't want to be chosen. We didn't choose to be chosen, but that's God's plan, okay? And so He calls them in the Word of God, in some places, the apple of His eye or the pupil of His eye. In Psalm 17:8 and in Zechariah 2:8, talks about something very precious to Him, something very close to His heart. And so, He just called this people for the plans that He had for all mankind. So why should we pray for Israel? Just a few answers of why we should pray for Israel. And as we go to the continue on the slides, if we can, go to the one that's the next one that goes there. It says, first of all, because God ordained it in Scripture. That's why we pray for Israel. In Psalm 122, verse 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom for Jerusalem. It doesn't say, you know, if you remember, if you want to, if, you know, it just says, just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it tells us that we need to pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and we need to pray. We need to pray for shalom. Now, people know that the word shalom means peace, but the Hebrew word shalom means just more than just peace or a lack of war. It means wholeness. It means completeness. It means fulfilling. It means being all God wants you and others to be. That's what we pray for. We pray for shalom. Not just external peace, but an internal spiritual peace, real and lasting peace. And when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we pray for all the people that are in Israel. Jerusalem and Israel has Israeli citizens, Jewish citizens, Arab citizens, Palestinian citizens, all kinds. So we pray for all the people that are there. You know, sometimes as a Jewish mission that we are, people say, well, you know, if you share the gospel with Jewish people, you must hate the Palestinians. No, we don't hate anybody. If you're a believer in Jesus, you cannot hate anybody. Because Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. Yes, He is a Jewish Messiah promised in Scripture. But He loves all people and He wants all people to come to a saving knowledge. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem because God ordained it in Scripture. The second thing is that we pray because God will bless those who pray for Israel, the Bible says. In this verse of Psalm 122:6, may all those who love you be prospered. Huh? May all those who love you be prospered. So we pray because God will bless those who pray for Israel. He blesses individuals. He blesses families. He blesses churches. He blesses even people groups and countries that support and pray for Israel, because that is His promise. Remember, that promise is not only in Psalms, but it goes back all the way to the book of Genesis, when God called Abram to form a people for Himself, and He says, I will form a people, and through your descendants, He says in Genesis 12:3, all the peoples of the world will be blessed. He made that promise to Abraham. He repeated that promise to Isaac. He repeated that promise to Jacob, all in Genesis, because He keeps His word and He keeps His promises. Nations will be blessed, it says. This is, of course, speaking of the future Messiah that would come. When He said, through your descendants, all the nations of the world will be blessed, including Canada. He says, because a Messiah would come that would be the Savior of the whole world. He blesses in different ways, but He always blesses those who pray for Israel. Thirdly, why do we pray for Israel? We pray for Israel because God gave us the Scriptures, the covenants, the promises, and Christ Himself through the people of Israel. The book of Romans, chapter 9, written by Rabbi Shaul, or as you know him as the Apostle Paul. In Romans 9, verses 4 and 5, he's talking about the Israelites. He's praying for them. And in verse 4, it says, they are the Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. In verse 5, he says, the forefathers are theirs, and from them, from the Israelites, by physical descent, came the Messiah who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. So through the Jewish people, we get all these blessings. Huh? And you know, the Bible itself, as God's word, what is it? It's described as a plan of redemption for all mankind, but it came through the history of the Jewish people. In other words, we learn about the Jewish Messiah through the history of the Jewish people. Sometimes you read the Old Testament. I hope you read the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, in your reading and your study. And sometimes people, you read the Old Testament, and what's the story? Well, God blesses the Israelites, and they live in peace with God, and then they sometimes forget about God, and they say, I can handle myself without God. And then God has to come and punish them. and they have to repent. And they repent, and God starts blessing them again. And for a while, everything goes right. And then, oh, they say, okay, we can handle it now. And the cycle goes on and on. And some people used to think, you know, man, this Israelites, these Jewish people are kind of hard-headed. Huh? They don't learn their lesson. And then you look at yourself in the mirror and say, that sounds a lot like me, doesn't it? You and I are blessed by the Lord. We walk in obedience. And when everything's going well, sometimes we say, Lord, thank you very much. Now I'll handle everything myself. And then when we get in trouble, and then God has to correct us, and we repent, and the relationship is established. Well, that's why it's there. That's why the story of Israel is there, so that you and I can learn how to relate to the Lord, how God deals with us. And we need to be reminded also that through the Jewish people, your salvation and mine came through the Jewish man called Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. As John 4:22 says, the salvation is from the Jews. So we're indebted to Israel, the Jewish people, for giving us all these blessings. And I dare to say that if the Jewish people of the first century, who were the first followers of Jesus, wouldn't have shared the gospel with the Gentiles, you probably wouldn't be here. Because, you know, at the beginning, all the followers of Jesus were Jewish. And when the Holy Spirit led them to the Gentiles to share, they say, oh, we didn't know the Messiah was for them as well. I like to tell a story when I share this. My older brother David likes to joke around a lot. And one time he was in Australia. And he finished talking. And at the end of the service, a beautiful older lady came by and said, wow. She never met a Jewish believer first in her life. So she shakes her hand and says, wow, a Jewish believer in Jesus. So my brother jokingly grabs her hand and says, wow, a Gentile believer in Jesus. And she goes, what's wrong with that? Oh, nothing wrong. But at the beginning, you were the strange ones because the first believers were Jewish. So all that to say, because of the Jewish people sharing the gospel with the Gentiles, you are here today. Well, why should we pray for Israel? Number four, the next slide. Because Jesus prayed for Israel. In the book of Luke and in Matthew as well, but I'd like to look at Luke chapter 13, towards the end, verse 34. Jesus is crying over Jerusalem, says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And then he says, see, your house, your temple, is abandoned to you. And I tell you, you will not see me again, says Jesus. You will not see me again until a time comes when you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus prayed for the Jewish people. He wanted to gather them under his wing. He prayed for them to be close to the Father again, to be covered under the Father's wing, and to be honest, this is happening today. It's been happening for many years. You know, for many years throughout history, the message of the gospel spread faster and grew faster among the Gentiles. But there's always been a small group of remnant of Jewish believers in Jesus. But now in the last 40, 50, 60 years, many Jewish people are coming to the Lord. Many Jewish people are coming to faith, and we praise the Lord for that. I give you some statistics because many still have to come. In Israel, for example, we calculate there's about 50 to 80,000 Jewish believers in Jesus in a country of 6, 7 million. So we have a long way to go. Unfortunately, 70% of Jewish people around the world are non-believers. Non-believers at all, not even in God. They're just atheists or agnostics. We tend to think that all Jewish people are religious. That's not the case. Only 30% call themselves some kind of religious. So we need to pray for their salvation, and we need to bring them to the Lord. That's why Chosen People Ministries exist. Because God, Jesus prayed for Israel, we pray for their salvation. Next slide, number five. Why do we pray? Because the Apostle Paul prayed for Israel. Again, in Romans chapter 9, the first few verses, The Apostle Paul cries out. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience is testifying to me with the Holy Spirit, he says, that I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the benefit of my brothers, my countrymen, by physical descent. He's in anguish, he's in pain, he's suffering. He said, I would give up my salvation so that they would come to the Messiah. So the Apostle Paul, he grieved, he suffered for the unbelief in Jesus the Messiah. He desired and prayed for their salvation. In the following chapter, Romans 10, he clarifies again, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning the Israelites, concerning them, is for their salvation. And I'm glad to be in this church. This is my first time. I've heard Janice talk about your church a lot, and she loves this church. And I know, and I'm glad to see that you're a mission-minded church. Praise the Lord for that, because God blesses churches that have passion to reach other people. So I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that on this first Sunday of Mission Emphasis, you chose to have us to come to you. Why? Because according to Scripture, it says, go to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles with the gospel. So praise the Lord for that. We support you. We encourage you to keep sharing the gospel. Why do we need to share? Because the Jewish people need Jesus just like everyone else. Let me clarify something, and I know this is not the case here, but some churches preach that, oh, the Jewish people don't need Jesus. They'll be saved just by keeping the law of the Torah of the Old Testament. Well, not really. According to my Jewish Bible, and according to the words of the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, talking to his Jewish disciples in John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that includes Jews, Gentiles, Canadians, Americans, whoever, wherever you are. There is no other way of salvation but through Jesus the Messiah. So that's why we need to share the gospel. Number six, we pray for Israel because Israel individually and as a nation needs to be saved. They're not automatically saved because they're Jewish. They need to be saved. And in Romans 11, 25 and 26, after Paul is talking to the Christians in Rome about the relationship between the Jewish believer Israels and the new believers in Jesus and how God relates to them, he says, now the gospel has come to you, and don't be so proud that now you're also believers in Jesus, because he says, after all, he says, I write to you so that you won't be too conceited. God has sort of blinded the hearts and the eyes of Jewish people for a while so that all the Gentiles could hear the gospel. And then, it says, and then all Israel will be. In closing, the gospel has been preached all over the world, and every tongue and every nation has heard. So now is the time of the Jewish people to come to faith, and we praise the Lord for that. So they need to be saved individually, and they need to also be saved as a nation, because we believe that when Jesus comes again, according to Zechariah, he says that the people of Israel will see him whom they pierced, and they will believe as a nation in the Jewish Messiah. Well, we move on. Why do we pray for Israel? Because number seven, as a church fulfills its calling and its mission where God has put you to reach the people you have in your area, do not forget the Jewish people. Do not forget the Jewish people. You know, you look at the New Testament and how God developed his plan of salvation, and you look at Jesus's strategy, and it's interesting because, for instance, in Matthew 15, 24, Jesus said that he first came to the lost sheep of Israel only. He told the woman from Canaan that was not Jewish, she wanted her daughter to be healed. And she came to him, and he said to her, first I have come for the salvation of Israel first. So Jesus went first to the Jewish people. Then the disciples, when Jesus sent them in Matthew 10:6, he sent them two by two. He says, do not go to the Gentile towns. Only go first to the lost sheep of Israel. And then the believers came and Jesus left. And when the Lord sent the Spirit there in Shavuot or in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the first believers of the church were also Jews. It says Jewish people from all nations that have gone to Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul, who we call the Apostle to the Gentiles. How was his strategy? You read the book of Acts, and what he did was even though he went to the Gentiles, he first went to the synagogues to see if Jewish people would believe. And then he went to the others. And Paul even taught us all there in Romans 1:16. If you forget everything I say today, please remember Romans 1:16. Paul writes, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, which is the power of God for the salvation of all people who believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. So the Bible teaches us that, and as you go to share the gospel with others, we need to remember that God wants to save the Jewish people, and he wants to save all nations. But don't forget, as you go, to pray and share the gospel with Jewish people. And finally, why do we pray? Number 8, why do we pray for Israel? Because by praying for Israel, you will be part of God's end time plan. You know, with all the things going on in the world, a lot of people say, they ask us, are we in the end times? Are we in the end times? Are we closer to the end times? And I say, well, the end times began when Jesus ascended to heaven. That's where the clock started ticking 2,000 years ago. Yes, we're getting closer. We don't know when, but we're getting closer to some of the things. But some things have to happen before Jesus comes back. And the Bible says that when all people hear the gospel, in Matthew 24:14, when the gospel has spread to all the nations, then he says the end will come. So we don't know. Then it says also that when all the Gentiles have heard the gospel, have been saved, in Romans 11:25, as we read, then all Israel will be saved. And he wants to use you to bring salvation to Israel as well. You know, one of the passages we use as a strategy to reach Jewish people, and is good for anyone else as well, is Romans 11:11. Romans 11:11 says that God saved you to cause the Jewish people to be jealous. You can use that with anybody else as well. We should live in such a way that other people say, why do you smile all the time? Why do you go to church all the time? Why do you pray and sing all the time? I want to have what you have. And so we need to live in such a way to make other people jealous. So we will bring Jewish people to the Lord. And then the Bible says that when the nation of Israel follows the Lord Jesus, the trumpet shall sound. The final shofar shall sound, and the Lord will come and set his feet on the Mount of Olives. I tell people, I'm sorry, he's not coming to New York or Toronto. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. And he will reign there, he says, for 1,000 years. And we will reign with him. All those that are believers in Jesus will reign with him from all nations. And we'll go to worship with him together according to Zechariah chapter 14. Isn't that amazing? Believers from all races and tongues and nations, we will share eternity together. Ah, when I get to that point, thinking about Jesus coming again, I say, Baruch Hashem, Beshem, Beshem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he is coming again. And I hope that you believe that. And I hope that you live in that hope. So why do we pray for Israel as we conclude? The final slide. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for Jerusalem. We need to pray for Jewish people all over the world that they will come to know Jesus as their Messiah, especially during these difficult times. I encourage you to pray for the salvation of Jewish people, Arab people, Palestinian people, that God will provide for them. And I think there's one more slide that you can click several times. If you have questions, if you need resources, you can go to our website. That's why we exist, to pray for, evangelize, disciple, and serve Jewish people everywhere. And we partner with believers like you so that you help us in our ministry. And there is a website, chosenpeople.ca. You can write to us at info@chosenpeople.ca. Probably Janice will respond to you if you do that. I Found Shalom is a beautiful place also to share gospel with other believers, to Jewish people. And anyway, you have all the information there. I pray that you will be, continue to be a church that has a heart of missions to reach all peoples, but to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Let me pray with you, and then I'll share a song that is a prayer for Jerusalem. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you love us all, and that you loved us so much that you sent your own Son to show us how to live for you, to show us a way of salvation. And Father, he died. He gave his life willingly to pay for my sins and the sins of each one that is here or watching us through the internet. Father, what a love so great. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, they will realize that they are sinners and we all need to be saved, to be forgiven, in order to have a good relationship with you. I pray that they will recognize Jesus as the Messiah, surrender their life to you, and start a new life with him. And for those that are believers already, Father, I pray that you help us all, challenge us all, to not give up, even in the difficult times we live, and continue sharing, as we're able, sharing the good news of Jesus with our neighbors, our friends, our family, those who don't know you. We pray all this for your glory, until all Israel and all nations come to be saved. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let me share a song that I wrote a few years, and Janice is going to help me. A few years ago, we had a conference on Jerusalem. I'm going to turn this mic off and use the microphone. A few years ago, we had a conference about the city of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of Israel. And I wrote this song based on Psalm 137. And we changed the ending a little bit, but I pray that it is a blessing to you. Pray for Jerusalem. And I have to say, I'm not a pianist. I just play the piano. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion in our land, we hang up our lyres on the willow trees. No music was coming from them. Our captors requested new songs from us. Sing us a song about Zion. But how can we praise God in foreign lands if I forget you, Jerusalem? May my right hand forget its skill. If I don't remember you, Jerusalem, may my tongue cling to the roof of my with us.
If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. If I don't remember you, Jerusalem, may my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I forget Jerusalem.
Through the years you have heard the cry from your enemies, destroy Jerusalem down to the ground. But God has delivered you every time, His promise is always fulfilled. He will completely restore your peace, His glory returning to Zion. When your Messiah reigns forevermore.
If I forget you, Jerusalem, don't remember you, Jerusalem, may my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I forget Jerusalem,
say it one more time.
If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. If I don't remember you, Jerusalem, may my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I forget Jerusalem, if I don't exalt Jerusalem, my greatest joy, Jerusalem.